Oh, you're very welcome back to another Irish Examiner Sports podcast. Well, our podcast slightly different now in this age of coronavirus. We're moving around the world, speaking to various GAA clubs and obviously huge Irish connections there. We're heading to Moscow today to Carl Breen, who's the chairman of the Moscow GAA club, a proud Cork man. Carl, let's begin. How does a man from Blarney end up in central Russia?
Bad life choices potentially. I was fascinated by Russia, and kind of saw it as this big mystery on a map, a very large country that I knew very little about. Obviously, I'd heard of the stereotypes and everything about Russia, but I wanted to find out myself what it was all about. So I've been on the international scene for a few years in teaching, and I got the opportunity to come to Russia, a little bit closer to home than my previous station, and I made the decision, and I haven't turned back, and I regret nothing about it.
Okay, well, the reason we're having this conversation today is in this incredible time for the planet, coronavirus. So how is Moscow, and how are you coping with the impact of the virus?
Personally, I'm making the best of a bad situation, I suppose. I'm pretty happy that I have a balcony attached to my apartment where I can sit out and read and enjoy some of the sunshine that Moscow has recently been blessed with. In terms of the rest of Moscow, you know, we're on complete lockdown. People are not allowed out of their apartments, only for essentials. Going to the shop if it's within, you know, the closest shop to your house, putting out the rubbish, taking a dog for a walk 100 meters from the apartment is all you can stray. So I think things have kind of developed. They're taking it seriously. This lockdown now is currently supposed to go on until the 30th of April. Hopefully, if people follow it, that should be, result in a dramatic decrease in the number of cases, fingers crossed.
Okay, so what are the numbers like in Moscow at the moment?
So currently, I think today we reached a number of cases of infected people up to 10,000. That's across Russia. The majority of them are in Moscow. Moscow is the biggest hotspot for obvious reasons. And I think there's about maybe 40 to 50 deaths that have been identified from the coronavirus.
And in terms of Russia, of course, the country is absolutely massive and huge distances between cities and some very remote places as well. The lockdown varies, I presume, from city to city, from region to region?
That's right, yeah. Vladimir Putin has given a lot of autonomy to regional governors, to mayors of cities, to kind of respond to their unique situation in their particular region. Which I think is better, to be honest, because, again, as you said, it's not the same number of cases in every part of the country. And I think every area has to respond to their situation, you know.
In terms of topics that are obviously huge here in Ireland, testing and intensive care beds and ventilators, how are the Russians approaching all of those factors?
As far as I understand it, they're doing quite well. I know that there is a number of hospitals in Moscow, in the south of Moscow, that have been solely designated as COVID-19 hospitals. I personally know someone also who was taken down there, who was actually tested positive for COVID-19. He was a British gentleman, and he's fully recovered now, so that's great. But he firsthand experienced the situation, and he said that generally he was quite impressed with it. He spent about 2 weeks in the hospital. He was well looked after. He had a bed to himself, and he had no complaints. They looked after him. They treated him. He was released within a normal amount of time, and seems to be quite good.
Okay. In terms of the Russian mindset, given the communist history, would there be a feeling that they would be more compliant towards strict government rules and regulations, the likes of which we probably have never seen in our lifetime?
I'm not sure on that. I realise that obviously the history of it would maybe lean towards that sort of an ideal, but I've always found that the Russian psyche is very, we'll say, independent in a way. You know, they're independent thinkers. It's not so much that, you know, when somebody says jump, that they jump, but that they respond, I suppose, out of a sense of duty at times. And in a crisis like this, I think a lot of Russians would feel that there is a sense of duty that they need to rise to, you know, to help the collective, to help everybody in the city, everybody in the country, to lessen the effect of it.
Okay, you mentioned Vladimir Putin there a little earlier, and the fact that he's, you know, giving states and governors their own power and autonomy. But is he still the front and central figure in terms of news broadcasts and newspaper reports?
Not so much, no. I know in Moscow, it's the mayor. Now, his name escapes me at the moment, but the mayor of Moscow is making a lot of the decisions. I think Vladimir Putin is probably mainly involved in economic decisions about rescue packages, banks, things like that. But the mayor in Moscow is really making the main decisions that affect Moscow so far in Ireland.
And just on that point there, Carl, like here in Ireland, obviously the government are helping out with people who are unable to work and have lost their jobs because of the crisis. Is there economic stimulus like that in Russia at the moment?
So far there hasn't been. At the current time, we're actually on a paid holiday. So that was always declared, I believe it was the end of March, maybe the 23rd of March, there was a paid holiday for a week, and that was extended until the 30th of April. So technically, everybody is on a paid holiday at the moment. I did hear in recent news reports that there was discussions going on about a rescue package for businesses, small businesses, for people that are out of work for whatever reason, you know, the gig economy, for example. And I think within the next 3 or 4 days, maybe 5 days, there will be something that will have developed on that, and there'll be another announcement. But so far, I don't think there has been a significant rescue package that has been released yet.
Okay, so in terms of you as a teacher, you're on this holiday at the moment, but obviously you'd have the technology to continue teaching if and when required.
That's right, yeah. So last week we were teaching online. This week we actually do have scheduled holidays. So this is my holiday. decided not to go anywhere. Next week now we're back teaching online again. And it's been pretty effective. I'm kind of a fan of online learning. I think it gives you a lot more scope to kind of get a bit of technology involved. And I think it can be quite beneficial. Now, it obviously relies on students being a little bit self-motivated, which is a big thing to rely on when it comes to students. But I've seen pretty good kind of responses so far with different students. I think they're probably so bored at this stage they'd do anything.
I'm sure a lot of other teachers would have the same opinion as you. Now, the reason we contacted you, Carl, directly is that you are chairman of the Moscow GA Club. So that's going to lead me into the question about the Irish community in Moscow.
Yeah, so there's a relatively large Irish community in Moscow, a community that's been here for quite a while. There's a lot of us. There is a lot of us, well connected as well. There's good community spirit here. The reason that I'm involved in GA was because when I first arrived to Moscow, obviously strange city, didn't know how to speak Russian, didn't know many people in the city. One of my friends put me on that there was a GA club in Moscow. And when I first came there, it was a massive resource for me just to be able to meet people, make some connections within Russia, to be able to get out on a weekend, do some sports. Our team is, you know, made up of Irish people, Russians, Americans. We have a wide variety of different nationalities that are involved in our GA team. So for me, it was a lifeline at the beginning. And the Irish community, by and large, have been great. And they always look out for each other.
Okay, and in terms of looking out for each other, at this moment in time, are you communicating quite a lot as a club?
Not so much at the moment. I mean, obviously, things kind of drop off when you don't have trainings and stuff to arrange. Now, one kind of tactic that we took in the Moscow Shamrocks was that we sent out something to try and keep people active, keep people fit, even if they're inside their apartments. So we set out a kind of a training regime that they can do daily to try and keep themselves fit and so that they can return with vigor and strength when this lockdown is removed.
Okay, and when championship is back, who are the big opponents? Who are the big rivals for Moscow Shamrocks?
For Moscow Shamrocks, everybody, unfortunately, because we're a relatively small team. We only in the club we've got about maybe five or six Irish players. So we are trying to teach people who have never played Gaelic football before how to play, and obviously that's a challenge when you're up against some European teams that have a very large Irish contingent. Even though the Irish community here is quite large, there's not a huge number of GA players, unfortunately, that make it to the trainings. So we're kind of up against it in that sense. So most of Europe will be our opponents.